Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" I wonder sometimes how many times I've said it. Perhaps you wonder at times how many times you've said it, those five little words. This wasn't what I expected. I can remember back to 1983 when I was privileged at 28 years of age to purchase my first home. Grateful that the interest rate then had fallen from 16% on a home loan the year before all the way down to 13%. It was a good time. I also know that the home that I purchased needed a new roof. So immediately after signing the closing papers, I went to the roofing company. And there the dear lady in the office gave me a whole bunch of samples of shingles. Which one would I like on the top of the roof of my house? I chose one. But when the job was completed, those shingles appeared to be much lighter in color in daylight than they did when I looked at that one single solitary shingle in the roofing company's office. I said to myself, this wasn't what I expected. You know, Advent is a season in which we talk a great deal about expectations. And we say when a woman is pregnant, so often we say she is expecting. Everyone who knows her and loves her is looking forward to that calculated time in the future when she'll give birth to a baby. Gardeners have expectations too. When they plant those seeds, they expect them to germinate, to grow up, and to be healthy plants to produce either hardy vegetables or some beautiful flowers. And life is filled with many expectations that we never speak about at all. Don't you expect that when you get in your car to drive home after this worship service today, that the other drivers on the road will be obeying the traffic laws? That nobody will run a red light? Don't you at least expect as a minimum that the drivers will keep their car on their side of the road? We experience disappointment. John the Baptist, in the words of our gospel lesson this morning, is disappointed with Jesus. Jesus did not appear to be, at least initially, the type of promised Messiah that John thought that he would be. You know, here, John the Baptist is disappointed for three different reasons. St. Matthew tells us that he was in prison at this point. He had been arrested by Herod because he pointed out publicly Herod's sin, who had taken his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, into his palace to be his own wife, his stolen paramour. He was arrested. He was placed in a prison called Fort Machaerus, 3 miles east of the Dead Sea. He was also emotionally drained. You know, there are many times when the Bible, Old Testament, the New Testament follows, makes comparisons to the ministry of John the Baptist to that of Elijah. For all the times when Elijah experienced great success in his ministry, the climax of which is when he was on top of Mount Carmel and had defeated all those false prophets of Baal, you think he would have been on a tremendous spiritual high, which I'm sure he was. But the next day he receives a telegram from wicked Queen Jezebel. "Elijah, you're going to be sorry you did that. While I'll take you your life from you by this time tomorrow." And he became depressed. And you remember he wandered for quite some time out in the desert. He went and sat under a broom tree. He said, "God, you know, I was hoping that I could finish out my career, but I've decided to take an early retirement." Does God get down on Elijah because of that? Nope. Actually, he recognizes the weakness of our human makeup, and he sends an angel with special food and drink, Elijah's going to be able to continue his ministry 40 more days in the strength of that food and drink. And does Jesus get down on John the Baptist because he's experiencing doubt? Absolutely not. Why? Because there's a great deal of difference between having doubt and becoming a total unbeliever. Here John the Baptist is, where we all find ourselves at times too, somewhere in between faith and unbelief, doubt. And that's why the Lord tells us all to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You may think it's an old-fashioned idea, but God says it's still the best way for his people to live. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. We should come with joyful hearts and minds when our priorities are God's priority. When we fully come to understand what Jesus means when he says, you can't just live by bread alone. If you're going to really be alive, you have to consume the word of the Heavenly Father too. He was emotionally drained. He had had shattered expectations. And how does God address his doubts? Jesus quotes the Old Testament lesson today. You know, he says, go and tell John that in my ministry, the wonderful healings that he was performing, you know, Jesus performed miracles for two very important reasons. One was to show indeed the compassion of the Father in heaven whom he had come to reveal. But the second one was to show the authenticity of his own role, that he is indeed the one who was to come to save Israel and all of humankind. Jesus said, tell John that the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the poor have good news preached to them. And then Jesus says, words of paramount significance. Blessed is that person who does not take any offense at me. You know what that means? By nature, we all like to think that I'm okay and you're okay, and everything in our relationship with the Lord God Almighty is just hunky-dory, and as long as we try to do our best, that's all ever God expects of us. And yet Jesus reiterated the call of God to Israel, you must be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can in no way enter into heaven. What Jesus is saying, blessed is the one who takes no offense at me, must be the one who confesses sin to God Almighty, no matter how hard I've tried. We all have sinned in thought and word and deed and fallen short of the glory of God. To take no offense at Jesus is to say, beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I love you. Truly I'd serve you. Light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Well, let me tell you, if there's anyone who ever had expectations that were not shattered, it was the Holy Son of God, Jesus, who said three times throughout the course of his ministry, minimally, the gospel writers tell us, he told them all point blank, I don't know what you think the kind of Messiah I've come to be, but this is the kind of Messiah I'm going to be. The Son of Man will go up to Jerusalem and will suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day rise again. He said it on the night before he died in very intimate language. In a little while, you're not going to see me anymore, but in a little while, you will see me because I live. You also will live. You'll become spiritually alive. You'll know the joy of having sins forgiven. You'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're an heir of life everlasting. And yet God has expectations for us too. Yes, there are times, like all the prophets, we can lodge our complaints against God. But what are you going to do with this forgiveness and grace and mercy that I've given to you? Are you going to try to simply keep it to yourself? It's what getting ready to celebrate the Savior's birth boils down to. Or will we love as he loved us? Will we forgive as he forgives us? You know, sometimes we can limit our expectations. I read an interesting article not long ago about a flea circus. Have you ever wondered, is there such a thing as a flea circus? Well, one of the first ones was devised in the Middle Ages in 1587. You know, there is such a thing as a flea circus, and the guy who did it here in the United States in the 1820s, most of them were jewelers. They had that powerful little monocle that they used when they were working on watches. The story goes, and they say it's true, that this tiny little golden wire was made so tiny you could barely see it, and they'd wrap it around the flea's head, neck. Some fleas, I didn't know, tend to walk. Others tend to jump. So they would fix with that wire a ball on the head of the flea that jumped, so that when he jumped, it looked as if he was kicking up the ball, or they'd tie a tiny little cart with that thin golden wire to the flea that walked. He was performing a circus act. But I learned we can all train fleas to a certain degree. You know, if you capture some fleas and you put them in a cardboard shoebox, that if you listen closely, you can hear those fleas popping up, jumping up, hitting the top of the shoebox on the inside. And after a day or two, you may no longer hear them, and you'll presume they're all dead, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Because when you take the lid off the shoebox, they are still in there, but they've conditioned themselves only to expect that they can jump so high. You can take the lid off the shoebox, and they'll never jump out of the box. And so what I'm saying, please don't come into the house of the Lord this Christmas Eve, this Christmas day, with too low of expectations. Be instead like that little boy in Sunday school who was being prepared to play the part of the innkeeper in the Sunday school Christmas program. His mom had practiced the lines with him many times. I'm sorry, there's no room in the inn. But this particular little fellow, whose baptism had greatly blessed him, he got so excited in the wonder and the joy of Christmas that when his classmate playing the part of Joseph knocked on the door, he flung the door open wide. He said, "Come on in. I've been expecting you." I'm closing with a hymn verse out of our hymn. Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, come. I open wide my heart, your home. Oh, enter with your radiant grace on my life's pattern. Shine your face and let your Holy Spirit guide to gracious vistas far and wide. Our God, we praise your name. Forevermore the same. Christ Jesus, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.